The following program is intended for adults, so hey, kids, if you listen, you get in trouble. Sorry! Also, check out the website, my Twitter, and also fill out that form if you want to send comments, questions, whatever. If I like it, I'll put it on the air or on my YouTube. Now, let's sit back, relax, crack open a beer, and enjoy Friday. It might be. It can't be. It is. It's Friday, everybody. Here on the flop. It's wonderful. I love it. Don't know if we're going to use that intro because that was really sappy, but we may do that anyway. Who knows? So what's up? What's new? What's exciting? Well, I'll tell you one thing that was cool this week. Besides the Dark Crystal, which I have to say, and I'm not going to spoil anything, here's my straight-up review. Fantastically beautiful. Every single time I watch an episode, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, literally. It's that good. I really recommend it. But since we're talking about puppets, Steve Whitmire just started a brand new website, which is really cool. And he has a new project that he's doing, and I want to help spread the news of this. I want to spread the word of Weldon. Who is Weldon? Well, Weldon is an internet troll, and he has this new show that he does by hacking into Steve's website every single Friday. Kind of sounds like my show, but he does this awesome live call-in show where you get onto Discord, and if you get selected, you can talk to Weldon. I want to say Wendell. Please don't let him know I said that. If you get chosen, you can talk to him, you can tell him about your problems, and he will roast you whatever about whatever it is you're having a hard time on. It's really funny, and it's impressive to watch somebody who has worked on things like Sesame Street and The Muppet Show, and especially Muppet Show, because Muppet Show, at times, if you're familiar with The Muppets, improv is a big thing, and man, does Steve he has some really good improv chops. He really does. He's better than me. Like, to be honest, he's way better than me. But man, this guy it is hilarious. It's a really fun show. You can tell that Steve is doing this on a small budget, but he is really utilizing everything he has with this budget. It's really good. It's really good for the content that he's pumping out every Friday. It's really funny. I highly recommend it. Now I got to talk about something that at first I was really pissed off when I heard about it, and I'm here to clear some things up for people, especially those who are complaining about this new movie that's coming out called The Reliant. So I found out about this from people who were going, "Oh my god, look at this cheesy trailer for this Christian movie that is anti-antifa, anti-gun regulation, anti-this, anti-that. This is the worst piece of crap ever, blah, 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 blah." And it's making me mad. Like, I'm like, seriously? This is what the Christian church is doing, blah, blah, blah. And then I went, wait a minute. I need to see this trailer. So I watched the trailer. And I go, okay, this looks kind of like if you took Red Dawn and you had a Christian author write it, which actually is a book. And I thought, where's all this other stuff that people are saying that's in this movie? Because I'm not seeing it. So I did a little research and I read the plot synopsis, and it is completely not what people are saying. The plot of the story is basically, it starts out with this Christian family. The daughter's going to get married. All of a sudden, it ends up that the U.S. economy basically severely crashes. And basically, people's tensions cause them to basically snap, and everybody just goes apeshit. And so this family basically is trying to stay together and trying to survive basically complete civil disrest. That's what it is. And that piqued my interest. I'm not a big Christian literature person. I'm not a big Christian person. I used to be Christian, okay? And I'm not because of a lot of stuff that I have been seeing out of other churches and stuff like that. We're not going to get into that part. What I am going to say is that if you can throw me a plot line like this and pique my interest, there's something there. I may even buy the book just to read it and, you know, see for myself, because it sounds interesting. Although I don't think I would see the movie because it looks really cheesy. I think it's going to be kind of like Left Behind, where, you know, the writing for Left Behind is really, really good, but the movie, the first movie that ever came out, I'm not talking about the one with Nicolas Cage in it, I'm talking about the one that came out, I think it was like early 2000s, maybe it was early 2000s, I don't remember, but that one was pretty decent getting you set up, and then the second one just bombed, and then the Nicolas Cage one really just watered down the whole thing. It really did, and it stretched out basically the first few chapters of the book into one movie, and that's what I really didn't like, is it focused in on just basically the beginning, like the first couple chapters, but not anything else past that, and it was really droving on. I watched it because I was bored, but getting back to this, though, I'd check it out. I would read it. And to the people who basically went off their shit and were like, oh my god, this is the answer. Stop. Okay. I understand that people want to fight against all this hate and stuff, but I'm going to mention this right now. I'm getting tired of both sides basically doing the same damn thing, which is yelling at each other and pointing fingers and saying, you are doing this, when they may or may not be doing what is being said that's being done. I'm tired of this. It's really wearing me out emotionally. And thank God I have this podcast to say stuff like this, because I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying that I don't agree with either side kind of protesting their point, but it's getting to the point that it's beyond protest now. Everyone's yelling at each other. We've got the quote-unquote anti-fa people that they're literally showing up now and they're attacking people and all this stuff. And I'm not throwing blame or anything at them or anything, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that either side, doesn't matter which side you're on, there's these sides that they're fighting. They're fighting, they want to fight, they're not willing to say their statement. They're literally fighting to prove their statement, and it's not working. It's not working. You can't fight and not expect the fire to get bigger. That's the thing. And I think I've preached on here before about this. I'm going to say this, and I know I've completely gone off a tangent, but just give me one more minute. We need to start just talking. I understand that we've got people who are on different sides with different beliefs, different whatevers. I understand that. I really do. But when you're yelling at each other and basically saying, you're wrong, I'm right, nothing gets done. If you can sit down and have a conversation, say, hey, this is what I believe, here's my points. And then that person says, well, here's what I believe and here's my points. And then you try to like talk that through and go back and forth, and maybe you reach an agreement, maybe you reach an open-mindedness. And worst case scenario, you agree to disagree. Like, seriously, that's what it should all be about. But the problem is nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to fight. And we also have our own government who is doing the same thing. And I think that one of the big problems is our government is setting the example for how we should be doing things. And I think that over the years, that has led to this. Again, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not saying one side's right, one side's wrong. I'm saying maybe the side should stop saying I am right and you're wrong and start going, hey, why don't we kind of talk about this and see if we can reach some kind of open-mindedness or something, or just agree that we don't agree with each other. So this isn't so much nerd news as I discovered something that I haven't really paid attention to, and now I'm actually buying some of the comics is I never truly grasped the idea that Archie Comics, their writers are probably some of the most creative nerds I've ever seen. Seriously. So Labor Day, Archie Comics had a online sale that if you spent $30, you got like 40% off of your purchase and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't realize how many types of Archie stories and comics that they just made. I'm not talking about their, what I kind of call more of their darker series stuff that is not related to the Archie universe. I'm just talking strictly Archie. I mean, they're running stuff off of Riverdale, which is great, but they came out with some other great stuff. And some of the comics that I'm getting, and this is a little bit of spoiler for a possible video, one of the ones that I was able to pick up is they did a second printing of the, I think it's Life with Archie, the final issue where he gets shot and he dies. I kind of read up a little more on this, and that the Life with Archie series was interesting because they took the gang and they basically said, okay, this is what happens to them after high school. They didn't sugarcoat stuff. They actually made it more relatable to the life of an adult, to the drama of being an adult. And I thought that was flippin' wonderful. And I can't wait to read this comic, even though, like, I'm basically skipping to the end. I want to read this because I'm curious on how they did it. I'm curious on how they pulled this off. But they've also done some crossovers. There's Predator versus Archie, which at some point I think I am going to pick that one up just because that just sounds too damn funny. But they did Archie meets Batman 66. I have all the issues coming to me. This looks really funny, and it looks like it, I shouldn't say it looks like, it's gonna work, because you've got one comedic entity with another comedic entity, and you're gonna have something that's gonna be really cool. But the writers for anything Archie, they're the most creative people I've ever seen to keep a franchise name going. And it doesn't feel old hat, and it doesn't feel like they're just doing it to do it. These writers are phenomenal. They're amazing. And I don't know where they get their ideas. These guys just, they're fantastic. And also too, if you guys want to check out some of these comics right now, the ones I mentioned, and I think they're staying that way, they're at 99 cents right now. So if you want the one where Archie dies, 99 cents. If you want to get, they're separate issues, but if you want all the separate issues of Archie meets Batman 66, they're all 99 cents. So definitely head over to their store and check that out. So I got to noticing, guys, I do talk a lot about my stress, the things that are pissing me off. I understand that, and that's probably not what you guys want to hear, and I apologize. But, you know, October's coming, which means fall, which means Halloween is not too far off, and Twitter has been reminding me every single day how many days is left until we get to this glorious night where I get to spoil kids with candy. I love Halloween, because Halloween was a night that you got to watch spooky stuff. You got to watch Halloween-themed stuff. But even more so, it was trick-or-treating. I remember trick-or-treating as a kid. That was the best thing ever. And going around getting that candy and then eating all that candy over a period of a week or two, depending on how much candy you got, or depending on where you went. I remember we used to go out to the senior citizens home, and those folks had all kinds of stuff, not just candy, but you would get bags that might have like coloring books in them, or, you know, like toys or something. Like, you got stuff over there, like just really cool stuff. I do remember one year though, there was a person that she made a really cool Halloween treat bag. It had all the essentials. It had toys, it had candy, it had all that. But she was nice enough that at the bottom of the bag, she did include a toothbrush and toothpaste. And some kids growled about that. I thought that was cool. I thought that was nice that there was somebody looking out for your dental hygiene since you're going to be destroying your teeth over a period of, you know, a week or two. I always thought that was cool. But I love October because that gives me an excuse to start pulling out the horror movies and the trick-or-treat stuff that I don't get to watch very often. And there's a lot of great stuff. I think one of my favorite things to watch at Halloween time is The Halloween Tree. It is a great one because I probably should start off first and saying this is a book, and the book is nothing like this special. Something that I'm very surprised that Hanna-Barbera did. Yes, Hanna-Barbera did this special. I probably should explain what the special is about. So it's about these kids. They're about ready to go trick-or-treating. They go out to meet their friend, and they find out that their friend has fallen ill and going to the hospital. So they start trick-or-treating without this kid until they see this same kid running through the woods. So they follow the kid out to this creepy house where there is this creepy tree with all these jack-o'-lanterns on it. And basically, long story short, you find out that the kid that they're following, it's actually his ghost, and the kid is running around with a jack-o'-lantern with his face on it, because if this one guy gets a hold of it, this kid goes to the afterlife. And again, this is something that's really not typical of Hanna-Barbera. What's neat about the special is two things. One, as you go through the special, they talk about different aspects of Halloween, some of the inspirations for costumes and certain things associated with Halloween, which is really cool. And dare I say, educational, but not in a way that it's in your face educational. The other part of this that I think is the best part of the whole thing is Leonard Nimoy plays the creepy string bean. I don't want to call him a villain because he's not really a villain. He's more of just a guy that he's doing his job. He's not being evil. He's just doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And if you did not know this was Leonard Nimoy, you would not know it was Leonard Nimoy. Because believe me, I have tried to listen very close and pick out like his natural embouchure. It's really hard. It really is. So if you didn't know this was him, you would think it was just some Joe Schmo or some other voice actor. You wouldn't think it was him. But it's a beautiful piece of Halloween fun. It really is. And it reminds me of a lot of some of the other stuff that aren't really... Well, no, I guess one of them is a special. And I don't have to really talk about this one, but Garfield's Halloween Adventure. That was interesting. And some people complained about it being creepy, but Jim Davis said that if he was going to do a Halloween special, he was going to do it right. And he was going to make it creepy. And I love how he did it. He did typical kids special, but near the end, you went off into here's scary story area. Here is, you know, here's stuff that you tell in the dark type stuff. You know, that's the and I love that about that special. And there's other ones that are more episodes. And the three that I'm thinking of, they're all Nickelodeon. Four. Because there was a bunch of their Nicktoons that they also did very cleverly done Halloween episodes. Rugrats did the best one, I feel, because it encompassed what trick-or-treating for kids was. It was great. But I love the fact that we had the babies trying to find a way to get the Reptar bars. That was the best part because that was the whole gist of it. But the whole thing was about Halloween. But it was all focused on the babies and their quest to get basically a sugar high. But it was wonderfully done. And some of the jokes and the visuals were just fantastic. It was kind of creepy. Although I probably should say that the second part of that episode, which was the one about the monster in the garage, That one was a little more creepier, but that worked really well side by side with this one. But just that Halloween themed piece is just it's excellent the way it was written. And then you've got ones like Rocko's Modern Life, where it's basically two stories, and it really shows you how much they tried to make sure they focused in on their kid audience, but really focused on adults. That was the best part. Because part one is the Rocko and Heifer trying to get Filbert to go trick-or-treating with them. What I love about this is it's three men in their mid-20s, and you can look this up. The gang in Rocko's Modern Life, they are in their 20s. Somewhere in there, they're in their 20s. You've got these 20-year-olds going trick-or-treating, but it doesn't feel like that necessarily. But as an adult, you kind of chuckle because, like, okay, it's three grown men with no kids going trick-or-treating. And it's fun. It has some creepy moments, but it's off the walls bonkers. But my favorite has to be the Hitchcock parody where Rocko thinks Mrs. Bighead killed Mr. Bighead. And I'm surprised that even made it past censors, because it really doesn't tone down the fact that Rocko thinks she committed murder. But the way they did it, it's very Hitchcock-esque. It's very clever the way they did it. It's a lot of fun. Angry Beavers did something similar, but they did an entire episode that was focused on basically poking fun at sci-fi B-movies. That's all this was, and it was beautiful. It was just this glorious piece of just, let's make fun of sci-fi B-movies. And I think my particular favorite is the one where the crawling spleen is chasing them, and whatever the woman's name was, they're running down the hallway, and she falls over, and she's like, oh no, my ankle! So they run back to pick her up, and two other times she's like, oh no, my other ankle! Wait, both my ankles? And it's just little pieces of that in that episode are just fantastic. The last one, and I think this was great for their premiere, is Ah Real Monsters did their pilot as a Halloween special, and that was so brilliant. And I think that's what really got the show off the ground, is focusing in on Halloween, having this premiere, or I don't remember it premiered on Halloween, but I think it premiered like around Halloween. It was great, and it did a great intro to all the characters, but more so, it didn't feel unoriginal. You would think that maybe like they might do some kind of nod to something or do something that was old hat, but this was so 100% original. And as a Halloween episode and a pilot, this is pretty damn good. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, there's other Nicktoons that did Halloween specials, and some of you are probably like, well, what about Doug? You didn't talk about Doug. Well, that's because, unfortunately, Doug and any of the other ones, they don't really fit my criterion to be on the best of list. I mean, the Doug one was good, but my problem with Doug is that after a while, you pretty much knew what you were running into plot setup-wise, and it was good, but it wasn't anything to, like, hoot and holler about. And even, like, can I just add on that even when Disney picked up the rights and they continued to show, this is why it fizzled, is that everyone that knew what Doug was, they were just kind of like, okay, well, it's nice to see this continuation, but it's the same damn thing. Like, there really wasn't anything new. And even the movie, I'm sorry, they botched that opportunity, because that show just does not fit in a movie, in a movie type situation. It really doesn't. It's mostly because, too, is that the plot structures for Doug, they get so old hat. It's not like Scooby-Doo. Like, Scooby-Doo, you can use that same format, you can tweak it, you can put them in whatever situation, and somehow it works. I mean, They did an episode with Stephen Q. Urkel. I mean, come on. So, yeah, that's kind of why that Doug's not on that list. Well, guys, it's the end. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And thank you guys, too, for tuning in to YouTube and a lot of the other content. It makes me feel good to know that there's at least one person that's paying attention. So that's wonderful. Keep listening, guys. Keep watching the YouTube videos. Keep checking the website. And if you guys got comments, questions, you want to share something, there's that comment form. I'll have it in the description. Or it's on the website. Go check it out. Anyway, till next time, have fun, take care, and 143.